بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the Prophet and the believers of his family and the noble companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We resume the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 109. قال الله تعالى in this verse, وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Many of the people of the scripture, meaning the Jews and the Christians, wish that if you could turn away as disbelievers after you have believed. Why? Out of envy from their own selves. مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ. Even after the truth that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's messenger has become manifest unto them. فَعَفُوا وَصْفَحُوا. But forgive and overlook till Allah brings His command. Verily Allah is able to do all things. The explanation, وَدَّ. Many of the people of the scripture wish. This wish is a pure wish with love, meaning with eagerness. And the meaning here is that many of the people of the book wish from the bottom of their hearts أَنْ يَرُدُّوكُمْ كُفَّارًا, to turn you away as disbelievers, to turn you from belief to disbelief. And the people of the scriptures are referred to always in the Quran as generally the Jews and the Christians, unless in the context it may refer to the Jews. They are the Jews and the Christians, and the scripture referred to the Torah and to the Injil, the Torah that was revealed to Moses, to Musa alayhi salam, and the Injil, the Gospel that was revealed to Jesus alayhi salam. So they wish that if they could turn you away as disbelievers, meaning after faith has settled in your hearts. Why? Allah made it clear, حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ, out of envy from their own selves. So it is nothing but envy, because what you are upon from belief is a great grace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those, the kafirs are therefore the enemy, and the enemy envies you because of what Allah gave you from the grace and bounties. And the one who envies the other wishes that the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be lifted. This is irrespective of whether he likes it for himself or for someone else, or for no one at all. So as long as he wishes that, then he is a person of envy. And also it is said that envy may mean to dislike having the grace of Allah upon others. Out or from their own selves, out of envy from their own selves, meaning they wish it not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is not from Allah to start with, however it is from them, from their own selves. And you know, the worst thing is that what? After the truth has become clear to them, manifested unto them, meaning to those many of them. So here the truth, Allah is speaking about the truth, and means that which you are upon, meaning the believers, from the truth. What is the truth? The truth in Arabic is known al-haq. The truth in Arabic is known as al-haq. This is the Arabic word for the truth, al-haq. And it means the affirmed thing. It means, in Arabic, linguistically, it means the affirmed thing. So, if it is describing the ruling, in this case, it would mean justice. If it is describing the ruling, then al-haq, the truth, would mean justice. And if it describes the news, then it denotes truthfulness. If it describes the news, then it means truthfulness. So therefore, truth is as-sidq fil akhbar, truthfulness in the news, والعدل في الأحكام and the justice in ruling. This is the definition of حق. Now from this introduction we come to summarize therefore the definition of الحق, the truth. It means الصدق في الأخبار, truthfulness in the news, and justice in the rulings. And justice in the rulings. Make note of this important benefit. And the deen of Islam is just like this. The deen of Islam, the religion of Islam, is this. So whatever the Prophet ﷺ brought from Allah, then the news is truth, truthfulness, and its rulings are just. Its rulings are just. And therefore the deen of Islam, the religion of Islam, is the manifest truth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says then, فَعَفُوا وَصْفَحُوا. But forgive and overlook till Allah brings His command. Verily Allah is able to do all things. The address here is to the believers in general. And included, of course, is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is al-afu? Fa'afu. Allah says here, fa'afu. It means ترك المؤاخذة على الذنب. It means ترك المؤاخذة على الذنب. Holding no blame for sin. Holding no blame for sin. وَصْفَحُ. This is عَفُو. This is the meaning of عَفُو. عَفُو. It means holding no blame for sin. Okay, here it's translated, of course, in the English language as but forgive and overlook. But this is عَفُو. وَصْفَحُ. Okay, وَصْفَحُ. Means turn, overlook. Overlook something. It means overlook something. So, there is a difference between العَفُو and الصَّفْح. Between the forgiving, holding no blame for sin, and between الصَّفْح, which is the turning away from it or overlooking it. Overlooking it as if it does not exist. So when overlooking is linked to forgiveness, then it would be a perfect condition. It will be a perfect condition. حتى يأتي الله بأمره. Until Allah says forgive and overlook, till Allah brings His command. حتى يأتي الله بأمره, meaning a command other than this, a command other than the forgiving and the overlooking. And this refers to the command to jihad, the command to make jihad against the believers, the disbelievers. إن الله على كل شيء قدير. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no helplessness, no incapacity touches him in any of his actions. This is the meaning of the verse. Now let's go to the points of benefit. Number one, manifesting the intense enmity of the Jews and the Christians for the Muslims. And the direction for this is that many of them wish that they turn the Muslims, kafirs, to turn them to disbelief out from their own selves, from the envy that they have. The second, that the disbelief after Islam is referred to, legally in Islam, is referred to as riddah, apostasy. Is referred to as riddah, apostasy. So, that's why, for example, if someone rejects Islam and turns to Judaism or to Christianity, he will not be given the name from an Islamic perspective of the Jews nor of the Christians. He will be called Murtad, apostate. He will be called Murtad. He won't be given the name of the religion he chose other than Islam. Rather, he would be given the name apostate, and this would be referred to as apostasy. And from the benefits of this verse, is that envy is from the qualities of the Jews and the Christians. Allah made this clear in this verse. And this is also tells us another point of benefit, that it is forbidden, that envy is forbidden, because it is a resemblance to the disbelievers in their manners, and thus it is forbidden. Because also the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم, he who takes the similitude, the manner of a certain people becomes one of them. He who takes the similitude, the manner of a certain people becomes one of them. And therefore it is incumbent upon the person, if he sees the grace of Allah on someone else, that he seeks Allah for from his bounty. He seeks for the bounty of Allah. He asks Allah to bestow upon him from his bounty. Not to go and dislike and hate what Allah gave the other, or wishes that it will be eliminated. Because Allah made it clear in the verse in Surah An-Nisa in 4:32, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Very clearly, and wish not for the things in which Allah has made some of you to excel others. For men there is reward for what they have earned, and likewise for women there is reward for what they have earned, and ask Allah of His bounty. Look, and ask Allah of His bounty. Surely Allah is ever all knower of everything. Don't go and wish that Allah lifts the grace and bounty which He bestows on men and or women. And it is clear that the envious person only increases in hurting himself. Fire is lit and intensified within himself the more he becomes envious, the more this fire within himself ignites and intensifies. And similarly, the more Allah bestows on others, he also will be hurting himself because of his envy. So in addition of himself being, or for him, in addition that he hates the grace of Allah to be bestowed on the others, he is in opposition, in fact, he is opposing the wisdom of Allah. He is opposing the wisdom of Allah. Because he hates that Allah gives whomever he wishes, whomever he wishes. Furthermore, the envious person, no matter what Allah gives him from the favor, he sees it nothing. Because he always sees more with others. And therefore he will look at the grace of Allah in a despicable manner. Even though he may be distinguished with so much wealth, and there comes another merchant who makes some profit in his merchandise, you will find this envious person envying him because of this earning, yet he has the millions with him. Similarly, this is also applicable concerning knowledge. You will see some who envy others because of knowledge. They may envy even the one who is lesser in knowledge than them, if he arrives to the good understanding of even a particular matter. This really entails looking down at the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, envy is a grave matter, and the consequences of it are terrible. This person follows the what Allah bestows upon people, checking this and checking that, and whenever he sees a mercy, a bounty of Allah on someone, then it becomes like a flame in his heart. And suffice that this is from the qualities and manners of the people of the scriptures, and particularly in this sense the Jews, as explained in many verses before this verse. And from the benefits of this verse is that the Jews and the Christians know well that Islam is a great matter. The Jews and the Christians know well that Islam is a great matter. A great in its essence and a great to its followers. Because no one envies anyone except for good or a good quality. And clearly this is stated by Allah in the Quran in chapter 2 verse 105, again concerning the Jews and the Christians, where Allah said, مَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَلَا الْمُشْرِكِينَ أَنْ يُنَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Neither those who disbelieve among the people of the scripture nor the mushriks like that there should be sent down unto you any good from your Lord. You see that? They don't like that there should be sent down unto you any good from your Lord. But Allah chooses for His mercy whom He wills, and Allah is the owner of great bounty. And therefore this entails that we should be careful, really careful, from the Jews and the Christians, as long as many of them wish that we have nothing of the grace of Allah sent down upon us. Also, it tells that this wish is coming from their own selves. It's not based upon any book, and it's not because of any bad treatment of Muslims to them, but rather from their own wicked selves, that they are envious of the Muslims. More than that, another benefit, that those who wish these things for the Muslims, they wished it after the truth was manifest to them. So, if they were ignorant that the Muslims were in the truth, and accordingly, if they would have said that we don't wish to be following a doubtful religion, then they may have some excuse. However, after the truth became manifest to them, and they knew that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the truth, and his religion is the truth, and the believers are on the truth, with all of that, they still wish this type of wish. And not only that, but act on every ways and means to reach their objective, So many of those Jews and the Christians are doing everything capable in their capacity, from material power or any other means, to turn the Muslims into a state of disbelief after they had believed. From the benefit here, and this is a very important benefit, is considering the conditions in Islam. Considering the conditions and the development and the development, the gradual development of Sharia, of laws. Because Allah said, forgive and overlook until the command of Allah comes. So there is a gradual development. Gradual development in the ruling and in dealing with the conditions. And this is a very important matter that Muslims must learn from, that they act according to their conditions. And this was the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, moving from a state of weakness in Mecca, persecution, you name it, to the state of strength and gradual strength in Medina. And acting accordingly, according to each condition. And from the benefits, that blame befalls the one to whom the truth becomes manifest. However, the ignorant is excused by his ignorance. If he, with the condition that he is not neglectful to seek the knowledge. Meaning he shouldn't sit there say, I am ignorant. But should strive to learn and to acquire the knowledge, to lift the ignorance from himself. And from the benefits, because Allah said here, forgive and overlook, from the benefits, the permissibility to make peace treaties with the disbelievers. The permissibility to make peace treaties with the disbelievers if the Muslims were in a weak state. If the Muslims are in a weak state, then it is permissible for them to hold peace treaties. And the conditions for these peace treaties are left to the Muslim ruler. Whether it is temporal, whether it is for some period of time and conditions, all of that. Details go for the Muslim leader who looks for the benefits of the Ummah at any time. And from the benefits is the affirmation of the wisdom of Allah. The wisdom of Allah, the most mighty, the most majestic. Where he commanded forgiveness and overlooking until his command comes later. Because the command to make jihad before the manifestation of its causes and of its conditions, from the material and human resources, is in opposition to the hikmah, is in opposition to the wisdom. And in this point, in fact, there is a great lesson for the Muslims to learn. And from the benefits, the refuting of those who deny the establishment of the actions with Allah Azza wa Jal, refuting those who deny the establishment of actions with Allah Azza wa Jal as He wishes. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what He wishes in ways fitting to His majesty and His greatness and as entailed by His wisdom. How can we deduct this? We deduct it from His saying, حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ, until the command of Allah comes. So there is a command of Allah that will come. There is an action that will come in the proper timing, in accordance with the wisdom of Allah. So this refutes the claim of those who deny that the actions are established with Allah in accordance with His will and in accordance with what is entailed by His wisdom and in the manner that fits His majesty and wisdom. And from the benefits, the affirmation of the ability of Allah, the attribute of ability, and that it comprises all things. Because Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do all things. And from the benefits, refuting the claim of the deviant Mu'tazilite sect, who say that man is totally independent in his actions. Refuting the claim of the deviant Mu'tazilites, who claim that man is totally independent in his actions. And if he is totally independent in his actions, this entails that Allah is incapable of changing him. Because if He is capable to change him, then man is غير مستقل, is not independent. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said here, and Allah is able to do everything. This stands to refute their claim. 16. The glad tidings to the believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change their situation. The situation which demanded forgiveness and overlooking will change it to a condition of strength whereby they can maintain jihad of Allah's enemies. 17. Following the wisdom in the call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with perseverance until victory is reached, and that each condition must be dealt with in accordance with its own merits. This brings the end of this verse. This brings the end of this verse, verse 109. Then we move to the next verse. Allah says, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِندَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ, and establish the prayers, and give zakah, the due charity. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّنْ خَيْرٍ, and whatever of good you send forth for yourselves before you shall find it with Allah. Certainly Allah is all seer of what you do. Establishing the salah, meaning establish it in the perfect manner, upright. It means fulfill its conditions and its obligations and its pillars and what perfects it. All of these, the pillars and conditions of Salah and its obligations, were explained earlier, and inshallah you can find them on the site. Those, I encourage everyone to study the pillars of Salah, the obligations of Salah, and the conditions and what perfects it. Those were discussed earlier and in details. You may find them, inshallah, on the site. Some of these lectures on the Salah now are being loaded on the site, so there you may have a reference, inshallah ta'ala, to look for. Then Allah says, وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ, give it. And give it to whom? To those who deserve it. And those who deserve it are detailed. Please make note of this important verse, where zakah is to be dispensed. It is mentioned in 660. Mentioned in 660. Just refer to that, inshallah ta'ala. And the zakah means, linguistically, zakah means growth and increase. Zakah linguistically means growth and increase. Legally, Islamically, it means giving a certain prescribed amount of wealth to a particular designation as worship to Allah, as worship to Allah. And it is called zakah because it purifies man. As Allah said in Surah At-Tawbah 6:103, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. This is the legal meaning of zakah. It means giving a certain prescribed amount of wealth to a particular designation. All of that is detailed in 660, as we said, and as worship to Allah. It is called zakah because it purifies man. It purifies man in his character, in his creed, and it purifies him from vice, and it takes him out from the confinement of misery to the generosity and nobility, and it expiates his sins. This is the greatness of zakah. In addition to other virtues of it, in terms of what it does to the poor and the needy and others. But this is just a brief account of zakah. Then Allah said in this verse, وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ, and whatever of good you send forth for yourselves before you, you will find it with Allah. You will find it with Allah. Meaning, you will find that on the day of resurrection. Nothing is lost with Allah. The good deed amplified 10-folds, up till 700-folds, up till more and more of amplification. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, in 261, مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء. The likeness of those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah is as the likeness of a grain of corn. It grows 7 ears, and each ear has 100 grains. Allah gives manifold increase to whom He pleases, and Allah is all sufficient for His creatures' needs, all knower. Then Allah said at the end of this statement, He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Certainly Allah is all seer. Of what you do. So Allah tells us that He knows everything that He sees, meaning He is acquainted and knows everything of what we do. Of ma, of what you do, of whatever here, it means generality. Whether this is done by our hearts, the actions of the hearts, or the physical actions, the sayings, and the physical actions. Because hearts have actions, like love, awe, hope, longing. These are from the actions of the heart. Here, the seeing doesn't refer to the actual seeing, the sight. Rather, it refers to al-ilm, knowledge and acquaintance, because it is more comprehensive. It covers both the actions of the heart and of the body, and the actions of the hearts are all known, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is acquainted with all of that. From the benefits, number one, the must in establishing the prayers. And the prayers comprises both the obligatory and the optional or voluntary. And from the establishment of the obligatory is to make a lot of the voluntary. Because as in the hadith, the voluntary prayers compensate and perfect the obligatory ones. Because there is no one except that in his obligatory prayers there is some defect, and these voluntary prayers perfect that and complete it. And from the benefits is the obligation to give the prescribed charity to those who are designated in the verse. And thirdly, the salah is more affirmed than the zakah. That's why Allah mentions the salah before the zakah. He mentions it in the statements before the zakah. Fourthly, the establishment of salah and the giving of zakah is from the means of victory, is from the means of attaining victory. And this came clearly in 22:40-41. وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ الَّذِينَ إِنْ مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَلِلَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ. Those who have been expelled from their homes, verily Allah will help those who help Him. نعم. Truly Allah is a strong Almighty. Let's have the next, please, after this. Okay, those Muslim rulers who, if we give them power in the land, the order for iqam as-salah, to pay the zakah, and they enjoin what is good and forbid what is bad, and forbid the munkar, disbelief and polytheism and etc. and with Allah rests the end of all matters of creatures. So the point of evidence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give victory to those who give victory to Him, who help Him. How to help Allah? By performing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need our help. But those who comply with His command, those who Allah gives them steadfastness on earth, they establish the salah and they give the zakah and enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. They are entitled to receive the victory from Allah and the help from Allah. From this, therefore, we conclude that man should first busy himself with that which is most important and then goes to the less in importance in matters of da'wah, in matters of da'wah to Allah, in matters of calling to Allah. And that every good a person does, he will find its reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the reward covers all actions. Minor and major. So any good that you do, whether it is little or much, you will find its reward. قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة. اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة. Protect yourselves from the hellfire even with a half date. Even with a half date, meaning as a charity, to give as a charity. And okay, this hadith is reported in Al-Bukhari. The eighth benefit is incitement to do good, because man will find the reward with Allah, saved, where he really is in dear need for it, in dear need for any minute good on the day of resurrection. And that if man does good, then he is putting it for himself. And really what counts to be his wealth is that which he spends in the way of Allah. And whatever he leaves behind, then it is for his inheritors. And whatever he leaves behind, it is for his inheritors. The tenth benefit, the comprehensive and general knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything we do. And the 11th point of benefit is warning from opposition. Because Allah said, and in this there is a threat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Verily Allah is all seer of what you do. Implicit in this statement is a threat. And also implicit in this statement is incitement to do good, because Allah is all aware of what we do. This brings the end of the benefits of this verse. We move to the verse 111. وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. And they said, no one will be admitted to paradise except the one who is a Jew or a Christian. تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And they say, none shall enter paradise unless he be a Jew or a Christian. These are their own desires. In response, Allah says, say to them, produce your proof if you are truthful. Produce your proof if you are truthful. The meaning, وَقَالُوا, and they, who are they? The Jews and the Christians. لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. None shall enter paradise this, unless he be a Jew. This is the saying of the Jews. Or a Christian, this is the saying of the Christians. Allah said, this is their saying. تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ, their own desires. Desiring. Wishful thinking. Man desires without any cause, without any cause that leads him to that which he wishes. قل say, meaning O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, هاتوا برهانكم, bring forth, produce your proof. And this is a challenge and to prove incapacity, a challenge and to prove their incapacity. Bring your proof, meaning we will not accept your words until you establish evidence for what you say. In kuntum sadiqeen, if you are truthful, this means that this is impossible to take place, so it is a challenge. This is like when Allah challenged them in the same chapter in 2:94-95, when he said فتمنوا الموت إن كنتم صادقين, in 94-95. There when they said that the hereafter belongs only to them, paradise. So Allah challenged them, saying, تمنوا الموت, if the home of the hereafter with Allah is indeed for you especially and not for others of mankind, then long for death if you are truthful. Allah makes it clear that, but they will never long for it, for death, because of what their hands have sent before them, because of what they have done, rejecting Tawheed. And Allah is aware of all what they do. So therefore, if they are truthful in their claim that no one shall enter paradise except that he be a Jew or a Christian, then let them bring their proofs, and they will never be able to. And therefore, they are from those who lie. Benefits. First benefit. Showing clearly the false pride of the Jews and the Christians regarding their religions. Secondly, the bigotry and fanaticism of the Jews and the Christians and these statements where they confined the mercy and the grace of Allah to themselves. Thirdly, their claim is false and untrue, because Allah described it as تِلْكَ أَمَانِيهُمْ, this is only their desires. So according to their saying, Muslims will not enter paradise, and they have said this already, as you remember in the early verses when they said the fire shall not touch us except for a few days. Then you Muslims and Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, you will then abide in the fire of hell forever. And according to the Christians, neither the Jews nor the Muslims will enter paradise. As to the Jews, it is true. Why? Because they rejected Jesus. They rejected Jesus. Not only that, they rejected Jesus and they rejected Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And anyone who rejects them and disbelieves in them will never ever enter paradise. As to their claim of the Muslims, this is not true. Rather, the Muslims will be the dwellers of paradise. However, the Jews and the Christians who don't follow the Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, they are to be in hellfire. Listen to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, who asserted this in the following hadith, which is in Sahih Muslim. And let no one be in delusion regarding this. I am saying to Muslims, let there be no delusion regarding this, that anyone of the Jews and the Christians who dies on their disbelief and their shirk, will enter paradise. Listen to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ. He is making an oath by Allah, saying, by the one in whose hand is Muhammad's soul, none of these nations, the Jews and the Christians, Yahudi wa Nasrani, who hears of me, then he dies not believing in that which I was sent with, except that he will be from the dwellers of the hellfire. This is reported in Sahih Muslim. Consequently, they're saying that no one will enter paradise except he is a Jew or a Christian. This is lying from both sides, from the Jews and the Christians. That's why Allah described their saying as desires. And in the hadith, Al-Kayyisu man dana nafsahu, the clever one is the one who subject himself to judgment, meaning reckons with himself, and acts for after death. And the helpless is the one who follows, makes himself subservient to its desires, and wishes for Allah to respond for his wishful thinking. This hadith is reported by Ahmad and At-Tirmidhi and others. However, there is weakness in the chain of narrations, and it is declared da'if, weak. The meaning of it is correct, because it incites to do and to prepare for the hereafter, not to have wishful thinking. The fourth benefit: anyone who builds up wishful thinking and looks for the high places without action, then he has a resemblance. He has some resemblance to the Jews and the Christians. And from the benefits is the justice of Allah in addressing his slaves. From the benefits is the justice of Allah in addressing his slaves. This is evident in the saying of Allah, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ, bring, produce your proof. This is giving consideration to the other, to the opponent. If you have a proof, then bring it. And this is from the utmost justice. Otherwise, the ruling and the final decree is that for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the benefits that these people have no proof whatsoever, because they didn't bring it. They have no proof whatsoever, and that they are lying. Because Allah ended the verse by saying, in kuntum sadiqeen, if you are truthful. And if they would have any little proof or evidence to justify their saying, they would have brought it. Listen now to the opposite of their claims. Verse 112. بَلَا مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Glad tidings to the believers. Listen. Verse 112. بَلَا مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ. Yes, whoever submits his face, himself to Allah, and he is a muhsin, good doer. Then his reward is with his Lord Allah. On such shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. This will be the explanation, inshallah, next time. We'll stop here. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.